Hello and welcome, security enthusiasts, to another exciting episode of Who's Next? In today's special edition, we are diving deep into your task force, your best defense. Get ready for an engaging conversation about the true power of your workforce in the ever-evolving landscape of cybersecurity. I'm delighted to be your host today, but before we start, I have a few housekeeping notes for you. First, we will be recording today's session and we will share it afterwards. Second, we will take questions at the end. So please add your questions to the Q&A section and then we will cover them. We are trying to answer all the questions that we have, but if we run out of time, unfortunately, we will need to answer them afterwards and share these as well. Let me introduce myself. I'm Miklos, but in the Trezorit company, everyone knows me as Mikey. I've been a proud member of the Trezorit family for over 11 years now. And throughout my journey, I've led both the customer support and the customer success departments. Engaging with tons of customers over the years, I've come to understand the importance of security for them, and I actively assist them in finding and implementing the best security solutions tailored to their needs. Joining me today as we unravel the mysteries of cybersecurity is the expert IT manager at Northwave, Sjord. With a wealth of experience and a firm commitment to keeping our digital landscape secure, Sjord is not just the IT manager, today he is the architect of our defense against cyber threats. Just a couple of words about Northwave. Their mission is to provide intelligent security operations committed to their clients' interests, ensuring businesses remain protected. They are dedicated to creating a safe digital journey. So let's dive into the conversation with the expert himself, Sjord, and have some insights about the dynamic world of IT security. So, Sjord, hi.
Good afternoon.
Hello, could you please tell us a couple of words about Northwave and your clients and you?
Yeah, I'm Sjoerd van der Bedem. As Miklos already stated, I'm an IT manager at Northwave Cybersecurity, a European cybersecurity specialist, and we are headquartered in Utrecht, a beautiful city in the Netherlands. Previously, I have led engineering teams within SOC environments, blue team environments, and I'm a senior expert on the computer emergency response team of Northwave, where we service international clients, mainly headquartered within Europe.
Wonderful. Before we dive into the serious topics, let's kick things off on a lighter note. And I'm always curious, what's your favorite book? It's always fascinating to get a glimpse into the personal side other than the professional one.
Yeah, for me, it's Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman. It's a biography for Richard Feynman, where he reminisces about old anecdotes about his life. Richard Feynman is a Nobel Prize winning physicist, and he is also known for the Feynman learning technique, which basically says, if you want to learn something and have a deep understanding, first study it, then try to teach it to someone else and see how you fare, then reflect on how you taught it and what could be done better and study again.
Yeah, so our first recommendation for the audience is to read the book, right?
if you're looking for just a nice fun literature for a bedtime, it's a really very good story. It also has some profound truths from Richard Feynman. What I do recommend is, if you have the time, Google Feynman on YouTube, because he's a really energetic person who makes you love physics, even if you don't like math.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much for the recommendation. And regarding reading, it just popped into my mind that in the last couple of weeks, we read about huge data breaches that happened, for example, at Bank of America, that impacted more than 50,000 customers. And a couple of days ago, the pharmaceutical giant Cencora also had a data breach, and we only read the news in the paper or online, but I think we cannot really imagine the impact such a data breach can have on the company. But you saw a lot more data breaches than I did. So could you please tell and show us and just explain what happens at the company when such a data breach happens? What's in the mind? What is your first step?
It depends on your attacker or why they even stole your data. Sometimes it's to gain a competitive edge. This has been documented quite well for Chinese attacks. It can also be just to disrupt you, just to fearmonger people, or just plain criminality. Just use it for extortion. When something like this happens, you may lose competitive edges. Your intellectual property may be stolen. Sometimes passports also leak, which is quite dangerous to the people involved, as it can be used for digital crimes. There's always, and it's becoming more and more stringent, the compliance angle. You are talking about heavily regulated industries, especially in Europe. There's a stricter push that people even need to notify authorities when a breach happens. And that's why they also make the news.
Mm-hmm.
Data breaches are nowadays also most often a part of ransomware attacks, where you can either choose to pay for having your data decrypted or pay for not publishing, which is essentially blackmail.
Exactly. Okay, so let's just assume that our company just had a data breach, like ransomware. What are the first couple of steps that you need to take in this case?
If you think there will be an attack within your network or it's actually happening, that's even the best case. First thing, pull the internet block. Just freeze all communication. If you're able to do that, you limit your damages quite a lot. Sometimes you can't, sometimes you can't. Then there is almost the first question that will be asked is, what data got actually stolen? What data is now out in the internet? And you're never entirely sure what is out there. Sometimes a criminal will be publishing a file tree saying, hey, for proof of stolen data, I will show you a few documents. And this is the file tree we got it from, which most of the time is a file share somewhere within the network being breached. And then there is a lot of damage control taking place. Do we want to take action, or do we just think, this data is not that important to us, we'll just let it run, we'll inform everyone involved, but that's it?
Mm-hmm.
Or you go into overdrive and you really need to take it down, and then depending on who stole your data, if it's just a criminal action, you will be able to negotiate and say, okay, what do you ask? It's most of the time a revenue percentage that they will ask. And then you can negotiate it. And they most of the time are not targeting you. They're targeting your money. They don't want you to go bankrupt. They want you to be able to pay and to give them the money they think they are worth, which is quite a moral dilemma.
So you're saying that the criminals are doing background checks, financial information, and everything just to know the limits, right?
Yeah, most of the times what we are seeing is people are actually looking how much revenue are you making as a company, just to make sure that they put the right amount of zeros behind the ransom that they are asking from you. It's double points if you are publicly traded, because then the regulations are much tougher on you. There are even cases where criminals do push the clients towards paying are actually reporting the victims they made themselves to the privacy authorities, just to say, hey, they've been breached, and just trying to wrangle out everything you've got.
Mm-hmm. And is it safe to say that, okay, so we are just a small company with, I don't know, 10 users, and no one is interested in stealing our data?
If you truly are 10 people, you may try, but most of the time it will not work. But then you are also a target for quite a low level criminal, because the amount of risk, the amount of effort they need to put into it, most of the time larger corporations get breached. Then you can also still say you're only 10 people small, but they will say, hey, we saw your network, you're bigger.
So we can say that it's not a question of if, it's rather a question of when the attack will happen, because all the companies can be target someday.
Yeah, almost everyone is a target. You can try to have a slightly better hygiene than your neighbor, but there will always be a human factor involved, where something was not as good as you thought it would be, or people get trained, but sometimes they just want to do their job and do the wrong thing for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You will get breached eventually. We've seen it with good IT departments, large IT departments, and also smaller ones which were understaffed. It can happen to both the larger and the smaller teams.
And can we say that in the, let's say, majority of the cases, user, not error, but something is in the background that you are not trying to, of course, exploit the data, but then something happens, and like, I don't know, phishing or something like that.
Yeah, where credentials come from, the entry point of criminals, it depends. If you want, you can even buy access to certain companies on the dark web. Someone phished someone, or there was some password enumeration, so just trying passwords, the most used passwords, and they succeeded. There are always ways to find out credentials for a user. And this gets smarter and smarter as the good guys try to make better and better tools to prevent it. But I don't know if you've heard this this new trend of criminality, which is called, there's a bad name, pig butchering, but it means you just feed a little into digital currency, make people some money, and then suddenly say, hey, invest everything. And people know it's bad, but they still fall for it.
Oh, so this is the trend today.
Yes, it's it was even, I think, on John Oliver's show this month.
And speaking of trends, do you see any other trends in the cybersecurity world?
Yeah, ransomware is pervasive. It will not go away.
It's the top one.
It's so disruptive that it has not only the implications of being blackmailed, which you can protect yourself against by having backups or something, but also all the follow-up damages you have, mm-hmm. just loss of production.
So the damages can take, like, I don't know, a couple of days or maybe weeks to fix, or even more.
Yeah, so literature on the internet roughly states 3 weeks. In our experiences, you can start producing most of the time earlier on. You can take a faster approach, but truly recovering from a breached network to a fully clean network, getting all your message in place, will take you roughly a year.
That's tough. Okay, and besides the ransomware, are there any trendy threats?
Everyone is speaking about AI, whether they know the topic or not. People are just trying to figure out what can we do with it. For good, I recently saw demos from Microsoft Copilot, especially the security Copilot, which could guide analysts through entire investigations and produce the paperwork, which most of the time is needed.
So the AI can practically be used for good and bad purposes as well.
Yeah, I assume phishing will only get better.
Yeah,
one thing I'm really looking forward to, or well, in a bad sense, is people trying to push through fake invoices, which mostly deals with business email compromises. But then actually your boss phoning you and it's actually his voice trained by AI. I think that would be a very nice criminal threshold.
Very nice. Yeah. Okay, so we covered what are the threats, and let's see how we can protect against them. So what are the three most important aspects that the company should think about?
The top three that is most important to me is have a good basic hygiene, which means get all your systems in an inventory, know which systems you have, which most of the time is a real struggle. Make sure they're up to date, because most of the times attacks leverage old vulnerabilities. So just keeping up with updates really is beneficial to you. You always hear about 0 days or people finding some new vulnerability. As long as you're not a national target, they will not waste it on you. You're not important enough. Just basic hygiene will get you a long, long way. Which also means you need to automate all your updates. You cannot do this by hand. Second one, which is also a very basic step, is have multi-factor authentication on everything you have connected to the internet. More and more services are actually providing it to you. Not everyone does it in the most human-friendly manner, but if it's there, please utilize it. Especially if you have VPN connections coming in. If you still have your old on-prem network next to your cloud, make sure there is MFA on there or it will be breached. It's something we also see quite a lot in criminal investigations and forensic investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the third one is please segment out everything you have. So please, if you have a breach, only a sub-section of your company should be hit. I've seen companies where they have a worldwide network and they have one breach and every location is contaminated. That should not happen.
So it should be easy to quarantine, let's say, the breached area.
Yeah. Yeah, to have isolations. And people always think about firewalls, but it's also to do with your Active Directory. Also make sure your domain admins are not connecting to the entire world, only subsections.
Mm-hmm. And we can see, and we are really happy to see, that today's world is going in the direction of security. But we also saw that if you are trying to enforce security on your workforce, let's say, on your employees, sometimes they are not that happy. So what do you think? What can a good IT team do about that?
Depending on your geographical region, I know the German work councils are always very against multi-factor authentication. I know it's a burden, but you do need it. So sometimes it's important to not listen to your users, but make it easy for them to do the right thing. Something we at our own company struggled with was what to do with ChatGPT. you don't want your company data to end up there, but you also want your people to be better than they used to be. And I think AI will help them in.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, there are now more safeguarded solutions like using your Google Bard or Microsoft Copilot, which contain your data within your own enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
So making the right move easy for your employees is really important. The same goes for stuff like password managers. If you have it, but it's really hard to use, people will refer to the old post-it or the little printout with the magic number of the week. Make it easy.
Mm-hmm. And one buzzword for this year is also the shadow IT, which is connected to practically making it not easy for the customers, or not the customers, but the end users. What do you think about that topic?
Yeah, it's almost inevitable that it will happen. And once it happens, it's especially if you're on compliance or if you're in an IT team, it's hard to regain control. So in my view, most shadow IT grows from people just trying to do their job or trying to do something that the central IT department does not support, or it is too slow, or they don't want to pay. And someone says, okay, I will just get my own credit card, pay for it. I don't connect it to our central user database, but I will create a little download of Excel files or something. And it automatically, somehow your data is in 20 different vendors you didn't even know you had. If you are a manager, a team manager, just know what your end users want to do, what they want to achieve. If you give them the tools to do their job in a pleasant manner, they will not create their own options.
Mm-hmm.
Once they do, it takes a very big compliance department to get everything back in line because people get used to what they just built, or their proof of concept, which was only going to last for 1 month, suddenly mm-hmm. becomes your biggest selling product and you're stuck with it for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And with that in mind, how can the companies empower the staff to remain productive without losing the security?
Get usability very high on your requirements list for new tooling. Because otherwise people will try to circumvent. Also, listen very closely to what is happening, very closely to what do people actually want. And sometimes you just need to get your wallet out, even if you don't truly support it. But if it's something they think they need, provide it to them. And make sure you have test environments, just little sandboxes where people can try out things. And as long as you provide them centrally, you have a view of the costs, you have a view of the data, the compliance, everything you need as an enterprise. Let people experiment.
Mm-hmm. And what about the phishing tests? What do you think about that in companies?
I think it's good for people to be aware. As not everyone works in cybersecurity and is aware that the internet is actually evil. But more and more people already got that message. Or they deem the message not important to their work. They're mm-hmm. just trying to do whatever they want to do. Just trying to achieve their work. If you are with HR and you're dealing with a lot of CVs being sent in, yeah, one of those may be malicious, but you just try to open every CV you get. The same goes for financial departments dealing with invoices. Everywhere where there is strange data coming in, which is not being sanitized by a central system, strange things can happen.
So we should prepare them to have these security awareness trainings and
Yeah, make them inform them, but don't think that your advice will be followed for 100%. People will forget or deem it not important enough. I also don't think shaming people, hey, you clicked on a bad link. It's the wrong approach. You should have enough defense in depth, like making sure there's actually anti-malware if someone does slip up. And if even that doesn't catch it, then at least your network should be segmented, and there should be a whole range of rings just to contain whatever goes bad, because it will happen.
Yeah, eventually. And when you are introducing a new solution to the company or cybersecurity solution or any tool, what are the criteria that you are checking and that you are looking for?
Besides everything that is normal, like how much does it cost? Can we pay for it? Does it integrate with the rest of our services? What we deem really important is we want to be able to connect things to our single sign-on, because then at least we control the applications and the users that have access to these tools.
Of course, like the price and everything, but like security-wise, for example, what is it that you are checking?
We have a lot of certifications we would like to see, and that's where you see a discrepancy between European providers and American providers. They have different standards over there. What we want to see is a ISO 27001 certification, which goes about information security.
Yeah.
Preferably also a 9001, which is about quality, but that's a bit less known. And actually asking providers if they have those certifications, or if they are able to answer the questions, which you should be able to do if you are certified in that way. And what you most of the time see from really big companies like Microsoft and Google is they have a GEOC questionnaire, which just is a basis they build themselves, which covers roughly every regulatory framework they came across, where you can ask things like, are you actually implementing MFA yourself? And those certifications for us are the baseline. If you have it, you should be good enough. And yeah, personally, usability, which I've already mentioned three times, but
Exactly.
if you
Never
buy
enough.
if you buy something that people don't use, it doesn't matter.
They won't use it. Exactly. Okay, and where do you think the world is heading in terms of cybersecurity solutions?
Apart from the AI that is everywhere,
Yeah.
I don't know what exactly triggered it, but the last few months there is a lot of talk about quantum computing, or especially post-quantum computing. Are there secrets that people need to keep secret in the next 10 years? As there are some expectations that the quantum decryption will actually start working. Geopolitics is already a hot topic. You see the internet breaking apart. I'm not quite sure if it will happen between the US and the EU as well, but you see more and more vendors becoming local. I'm not sure what it does. But I'm also seeing the large companies getting larger, especially Microsoft, which used to be the anti-security vendor of IT. Is now so heavily investing in security products. It's really impressive what they're doing right now. So the big ones will continue to be bigger. And because they are eating everything that has a potential to grow, they are able to offer more and more automation to actually deliver attack paths when a detection is found. Okay, what are you? So something says, hey, you have a virus here. What are you going to do? Now it's a human task. It's more and more an automatic task.
Okay, thank you, and thanks for all the answers and for all the deep dive into the world of cybersecurity. We can see that the chat is on fire and there are great questions. So let's see, people are revolving around this ransomware topic. So the first question is whether there were cases during your professional career when you advise the client to negotiate with the ransomware gang, why and what are the consequences practically?
Okay, so the only way I can answer this is a more generic wording than where the juice is, because we cannot disclose our clients or
Of
our
course.
operations. But in general sense, this would not be happening if it wasn't extremely profitable. You can also, if you have a look at the dark web, you can actually look at the kind of ransoms people are demanding and those who didn't pay what data got published. These are public websites. You do need to know a friend who knows the URL, but these are open on the dark web where you can have a look yourself, where they're also actually taunting the clients by releasing data bit by bit. And if you put the entire insurance market numbers up, there is bound to be people that pay because otherwise the company goes under. So the brief description is: at one time, a CFO will make a quick calculation: how much time can my company be down before we go under? And are we going to make it, yes or no? Everyone wants to take the moral high ground if they can.
Okay, thank you for the answer. Another question from the audience is whether you see any trends, products, companies offering solutions to protect against these AI-assisted cyber crimes, let's say. Do you know about such companies or
So far,
solutions?
the labels that security vendors are putting on their products do not say we protect against AI. They mainly state we use AI to be better. In essence, most of the threats that are coming from AI are essentially doing the same that is already happening, but faster on a larger scale. So the same products we use today for large parts can protect us from this. All the large vendors, they're doing quite a good job. So if you go by market share, Palo Alto, Microsoft, those are large companies that have massive research investments that are now being at the forefront.
Thank you. The next question is, someone says that my company does a fantastic security awareness trainings, but how can I make sure that they are followed? Can
No.
I?
Okay. So people following a training, of course, you can see who attended and who didn't. You can also, of course, send out test phishing to test the exact behavior that you were trying to raise. But you have people who grasp the concept, which are generally quite quick and safe. But it's also people who just learn what you told them exactly word by word. So if the attack is slightly different, they don't recognize it as such. So just fostering a culture of talking about this, or where it's normal to ask a colleague, "Hey, this seems a bit strange. What do you think?" Or having a special security department which you can actually call, and not blaming people if something goes wrong. That's the best environment you can create.
But keep up with awareness, because that's step one.
Okay, so with the end, we reached the end of the webinar. Do you have any final advice for the security enthusiasts who joined today and all those who couldn't, but who will hear the recording?
Stay curious. Things are moving at a very rapid pace, which has been the case for years and will be the same for the coming years. What I'm seeing is there is also now more and more ask for, okay, if I give you this huge investment, what am I getting back in terms of metrics? Can I measure how more secure I am? If someone knows the answer to that question, I'm very interested to have a little discussion.
Okay, so we are really happy. Thank you very much, Sjoerd, for these wonderful insights. And we really hope that we will live in a better and safer world following your advices. So once again, thank you for accepting our invitation and for coming. And I really hope that you will have less ransomware and less security incidents in the future. Our next webinar of the Who's Next series is Why Secure Enough is Not an Option. So why secure enough is not secure enough practically, which will be almost in 1 month in April. Until then, please watch our webinars on demand, of course, and don't forget to check Northwave Cybersecurity website. You can meet Sjoerd there as well. And of course, our Treasury website, where you can learn a lot about cybersecurity. Thank you very much. Once again, have a nice evening. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.